Welcome to Faith Positive Radio with Dr. Joey Fawcett, the Christian business coaching conversation that increases your faith with greater joy at work so you love God and others more. Dr. Joey interviews Christian business professionals just like you to discover their secrets for working faith positive in a negative world. Welcome to Faith Positive Radio with Dr. Joey Fawcett.
I'm Dr. Joey Fawcett. You know, you should be still and know that God is God, but are you doing it? Discover the secret to trading in your work anxiety for peace on the job when you listen to the audiobook, Faith Positive in a Negative World, that I co-wrote with Mike Van Vranken. Find out how you can be still and know God is God and remove anxiety from your workplace. Go to Amazon and download this audiobook, Faith Positive in a Negative World, today.
Faith Positive Nation, it's a great pleasure for me to introduce someone to you today that you're absolutely going to love because he has a great story. Grew up in a commune in the woods, dare I say backwoods, of but they're all backwoods in Oregon, right? And married his childhood sweetheart, high school sweetheart, actually skipped college and then went on to start more than a few businesses. So he proudly wears the title serial entrepreneur and has sold some of those and is really committed to helping high potential leaders with the ideas and resources to grow their businesses or organizations while achieving some really lasting leadership impact. He's written a book called Ambition. So Faith Positive Nation, help me welcome Seth Buackley to Faith Positive Radio today. Seth, thanks so much for being on, man.
Dr. Joy, it is my extreme privilege. So I'm looking forward to where our conversation leads us.
Yeah, me too. So if you're watching the video version of Faith Positive Radio today, over Seth's right ear is a buffalo, or at least what's left of a buffalo. And you actually, no buffaloes were injured in the recording of this podcast, though. I just want to say that, even though that skull's hanging on the wall. Okay.
Yeah, only the delinquent buffaloes that were prone to breaking through fences were injured in the, this particular activity, and we'll just probably leave it at that.
Yeah, that's enough, Seth. Hey, man, thanks so much for your time today. Growing up on a commune in Southern Oregon, obviously I'm from the South, but Southern Oregon has a different accent than the one that I have, right?
Yes,
so what was that like, man, growing up in Southern Oregon on a commune?
You know, it was, it's the only thing I knew because I was 17 before we actually left the commune. And so, you know, life was, streams and crawfish hunting and motorcycle riding and a lot of just real practical kind of life on a farm. But, the negative side of it is, whereas it may have started out really centered around, you know, God's truth, eventually it kind of became a little bit of a personality cult. And so, I had a chance to see leadership done poorly in my view, where, you get a fair amount of truth, but not necessarily truth in love. And, I had to work through some of that stuff later on in life. But I say we all get launched into life from somewhere. I happen to have been launched into life from a commune. And so it is what it is.
You know? Yeah, but it makes a great, interesting lead into a podcast anyway, right? Yeah, it was. Yeah. So you skipped college. And of course, most of us hear stories about people. Michael Dell went to college, dropped out, Bill Gates, these kinds of guys. Went on to be highly successful. So then there's Seth Buackley. You skipped college. Why?
Well, couple reasons. Number one, I'm just really impatient. And growing up in the public school system, it just felt to me like it was a social experiment gone bad. Meaning, I felt like I love to learn and I like to compete, but it just seemed to me that the pace at which things were going was really oriented around structure and not really around, exchanging information. And so I was just impatient on one hand, but the other side of it is my dad, his dad was a professor at Cal Berkeley. And so he wasn't anti-education by any means.
I understand.
My dad was a very intentional mentor and an entrepreneur. And basically he came to me when I was coming out of high school and he said, listen, you can go to college. I'm all for that. He says, or, you can join me and we're going to build a business. And, I think you can be a millionaire by the time you're 25 years old. And so
that was a no-brainer then, right?
Well, except for the fact that there was absolutely no guarantee that we had any chance at having success, because we had come from a commune to start a family business, you know. And so if you looked at it on paper, it's the exact kind of thing that you would tell people not to do.
And, oh, run. You know,
You know, because I was impatient, and because, you know, my dad was an intentional mentor, and I liked the challenge, I decided to take him up on that. And, you know, we just kind of launched into business and life together.
Wow. Incredible start to business for you. So what was that first business?
You know, the first business that we got into was intended to be a construction company. He was transitioning out of a business where they used to cut trees for power lines. But we quickly fell into a niche where we were building communication towers to make the cellular phones, which were, you know, very novel at that time. Mm-hmm. And so in the late 80s, early 90s, we were building some of the first communication towers that made cell phones work.
Wow.
And
bag phones.
So, yeah, they were bag phones. And a lot of the projects that we got to work on, Dr. Joey, were mountaintop projects. So, you know, we would literally be flying parts of the tower up to the top with a helicopter, or, you know, dragging buildings up the hill with a bulldozer. And so, you know, my dad loved those kind of projects, and I started in the trenches and kind of worked my way up in the company. And you know, we were pretty fortunate. We ended up having crews all over the West Coast, and we had a chance to sell the business to a public company when I was in my late 20s. Here I was, you know, a kid from the commune, and I'm sitting around the board of directors table with a bunch of millionaires. I'm thinking, how the heck did this happen? You know,
but, what am I doing here?
Yeah. But of course, it was my first taste of success. And that's where my whole idea around realizing I was pretty ambitious started to show its ugly head. So
its ugly head. Okay. So is that what the book Ambition that you wrote about is about, your ugly head? I mean, Ambition's ugly head. Sorry.
You know, both my ugly head and Ambition's ugly head. You know, I look at it this way. You know, ambition, I actually think is a gift, and it's a positive attribute. But, you know, like a lot of gifts and a lot of positive attributes, it's got some really negative opposition or opposites, right? Mm-hmm. So in my case, I remember coming to an epiphany that whereas I was really driven, a lot of what had been driving me was probably envy, you know? And so I was really motivated to achieve, but I really, at that age, I hadn't really figured out what I was trying to do yet.
So how did God work in the midst of all that, Seth, to help you understand the differences here between, you know, the dark side of ambition, if you will, and the light side, the good side?
Yeah. Well, I call it special treatment for the hard of hearing. And so, you know, for me, it was really pain. And so whereas everything up until my, you know, 30s, it seemed like I had the golden touch. And then I spent the next decade proving to myself and others that I did not have the golden touch. And I actually had a lot of failure in business. And I you know, had a variety of compromise and temptations in my own world that made me challenge, you know, the kind of the underlying question of, do I want to be perceived by others as being a person of integrity, or did I really want to be a person of integrity? And going through that really painful process for me was healthy and necessary, because I discovered, and I really feel like God showed me, that I was fundamentally ungrateful. Whereas I had achieved this level of success and prosperity that I could have never imagined back in the commune.
Yeah.
I was not protecting it, and I wasn't humble, and I wasn't grateful for it. And it took that level of frustration and agony before I got a clue, really.
So you bought the lie that you had done it and you deserved it.
Yeah. And I see, you know, in 25 years being around a lot of entrepreneurs and driven people, I see that they buy this mantra of, if it is to be, it is up to me. And so they think that once they accomplish something, that it was really by the strength of their own hands that they built all these things. And that's usually when we get set up for a rude settlement with reality, somebody called it once. So.
Yeah. So where was your bottom? Because we all, in encountering adversity and in buying that lie, you know, we find our bottom, and it's at different places for us. What was hitting your bottom like before you looked up and became grateful and saw God?
You know, the kind of the worst part of it is I was a Christian through this cycle, and that's not the worst part. It's the best part, but the part that I had the, had to come to grips with is, despite the fact that I trusted Christ for salvation and was confident in, you know, my ultimate redemption, I was still ungrateful.
Wow.
And so, coming to grips with the fact that even though I'd been given so much and business failures, and, you know, I can remember one time, actually shedding tears about it, not because more like a grieving, more like a, just needing to acknowledge that I had screwed up pretty badly and, you know, damaged relationships, damaged my financial position, you know, just unnecessarily. And I felt like once I owned that and began to focus on gratitude, that rebuilding process started. And so, you know, it was probably 10 years after my highest height before I finally got to the point where I'm like, okay, we need to approach life differently if we're going to have better outcomes.
Yeah. You remind me of the younger son among those prodigal sons, and the scriptures say, and when he came to himself, some translations say when he came to his senses. So was there anything in particular that prompted you right there, an experience or something that said, Seth, man, there's got to be a better way to live than this?
No, I just think for me, it was actually revelation. And the revelation was I really did not like what my life was. I felt very driven, but I didn't know what I wanted. And it really was gratitude. It was a revelation that for me and my personality type, that until I had a relationship with gratitude, I wasn't going to be successful, period.
Right.
And that was, I feel like, a real turning point.
You've used the word gratitude about half a dozen times now, and we're really big on gratitude in the Faith Positive Work style. It's this part of the sixth core practice where you receive the positive in faith at work, and we, in the perceived core practice, actually coach people to write in their gratitude diary every evening three positive work experiences that they've had that day so that they can seed those positive experiences into their mind. And gratitude is one of the big three for us: happiness, optimism, and gratitude. What's gratitude for you, and how do you express gratitude to God?
I think gratitude is ground zero for ambitious people. What I've observed, and actually what I wrote about in the book Ambition, Leading with Gratitude, is this revelation I had about myself and other driven people is we're often so forward focused that we don't stop to take a good accounting of where we've come from or the resources and gifts and opportunities we have now, because we're just thinking about that next challenge, that next whatever, next problem to solve. So for me, gratitude isn't this soft, sentimental, fluffy thing. It's actually like a real sharp tool that I believe people that are driven, I actually don't think they can get to satisfaction, happiness, and joy
without gratitude,
without going through gratitude first. And so, for instance, I've thought a lot about this. Like, you know, Cicero famously said that gratitude is like the father of all of these other good emotions. I think I might believe that. I think the highest state I'd like to get to would be humility, right? But I actually don't think we can get to humility until we go through gratitude. I think gratitude is that path towards, you know, humility. And
why is what that? Why do you think it's path to humility?
I think gratitude implies that we are the recipients of something, of an exchange. I call it a beneficial exchange. In our case, gratitude forces us to realize that there's, to quote Covey, that there's abundance that we've received in our life and that we're going to receive in our life. It's completely disconnected from our striving, right? For people that are always striving, it's really liberating to reorient ourselves to the fact that we're not holding the world together, and that we, that's me. That's what joy feels like, is this acknowledgement of, oh, wow, I'm really not holding it all together.
Yeah, and it's not all on my shoulders, and I'm not Atlas having to carry all the world's problems and fix them, right?
Exactly. And so I have a practice that I use, and lots of people, I mean, you just gave me a hint about the kind of practice you teach. And so, you know, I tell people, listen, the gratitude practice that you choose or I choose, you know, is not a silver bullet, but I actually think gratitude itself is the silver bullet. However you get there, you know, it's extremely powerful.
Oh, it's huge leverage, isn't it? And it really just swings that door wide open to where God will bless us with more, and we become the conduit to where we can share with others. And the extent to which we share is the extent to which we receive, right? That's why we're taught in the Lord's Prayer, you know, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive others. So I'm passing the forgiveness on, and so all the other blessings in life. And we refer to them as being grateful for resources that we know we didn't converge or manipulate, sometimes even influence. I mean, you've seen it yourself. You've sold several companies, multi-million dollar exits. There were good things that happened that Seth would love to claim credit for, but, you know, not really, right? So you're just grateful for all those things that converge.
I'm learning to claim less of it. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and it was like, you know, I can, in my last gig, I was president of a company. We had, you know, roughly 60 people. And, you know, it was my name at the top of the org chart. And, you know, I would look at that and I would think, now, how on earth did that happen? Right. But I also learned to look at it like, this is a privilege. It's not your job to look at this and say, oh, I'm unworthy, because that's just as bad as saying, I deserve this. Both of those are wrong. They're wrong on opposite ends of the spectrum, right?
Right.
And so gratitude for me makes me say, no, this is a gift. And now my response is stewardship and treating it faithfully and doing the work, you know, to do it well. But I don't have to treat it like it was all about me in the first place, right?
Right. Yeah. Because when you start believing your own press clippings, that's when you become unusable to God, and it's no longer for His glory, right?
I did that more than once. So, yeah.
Well, it's an easy trap, right, man? And you're not by yourself. I mean, I've done it. I still do it sometimes. I mean, just to be perfectly transparent, I start thinking it's about me. And that's a great thing I love about having an accountability partner, who happens to be my business partner, is, you know, if we start smelling that around each other, we call each other on it. Oh, really? It's about you now? And so, you know, that's just a daily habit and practice I think I have to re-up on. Maybe you don't. But.
No, I do. In fact, I like to say we you know, we drift. And, you know, having written a book, people are like, what's the hardest part of writing a book? And I think they think I'm going to answer it. It's like getting the words on the paper. And I'm like, no, the hardest part is living up to what I wrote, because I actually believe it. And it forces me to say, listen, again, do you just want to be known as thinking these things, or do you want to live up to them? And, you know, as ambitious driven people, we drift. So what gratitude is so beautiful. And I coined a phrase, or let me phrase that. I thought I coined a phrase until I Googled it and realized I didn't.
Ignorance is bliss, Seth.
Yeah. I call it my gratitude adjustment, right? And that ambitious people need regular gratitude adjustments, because we drift back into that mindset that comes naturally to us. In fact, my contention would be that driven people are actually some of the least grateful people on the planet. And when I was researching the book, I was pleasantly surprised to see that they suggest that gratitude has the greatest effect on the people that are least grateful.
Say that and again. I want to make sure we get that one now. Gratitude has what?
Gratitude has the greatest effect on those that are naturally least grateful.
Wow.
Yeah. My contention and my observation about myself, and I'll leave it there, but I can also look at others, is that driven, ambitious personality types are not naturally grateful. Mm-hmm. And so gratitude is a huge deal for them. And it's very liberating. And, you know, what's the point of being driven and doing all these great things if we're miserable in the process, right?
Yeah. And that works on your definition of success, doesn't it, Seth?
It does.
Yeah. Because if you reach that pinnacle, or as Covey used to say, you know, if you climb the ladder of success only to get to the top and discover it's leaning against the wrong wall, you know, what then?
Well, one of the things that I, you know, I think about and I wrote about is I call it the curvature of the earth. So for driven people, you know, we'll often set this goal. And as we approach the goal, now we start to see like the earth turns and we start to see this goal that's a little bit further out there. And before we know it, our emotional energy shifts. And now we're looking at this new goal and we totally forget about the last thing we just achieved. And, you know, you end up wearing yourself out trying to scratch this itch. And then, you know, in my case, realizing that whatever you did wasn't really scratching the itch anyhow, right?
So how do you, in your daily relationship with God, stay grateful? What is it that you do, Seth, to stay grateful?
Sure. So my gratitude practice kind of started in the shower. So it's one of those few places that I could go where nobody was going to ask anything of me. And, you know, I could be alone with my thoughts. And what I would discover is, as I was feeling anxious or stressed or angry, I would use that time to just kind of reset my thoughts on God. And so, you know, over the years it kind of refined, but I would just think about God's greatness and his goodness and the fact that he'd created all this and it wasn't my idea and he, you know, he was holding it all together. And then I would think about what Christ had done for me, you know, leaving heaven to come, you know, pay for sins. And then I would think about specifically like what he had done for me personally. And I would even enumerate those at sometimes. And then I would, from there, I would just give thanks. And on all of those things, I was giving thanks, but then I would get to the bottom of this kind of hierarchy I would see in my head. And I would be very thankful for the different roles that I got to play as a person. So where I could have impact. So for instance, I would be thankful for my role as a dad, or thankful for my role as a husband, or thankful for my role as a community leader, or the, you know, president of a company. And I would just kind of take an accounting of all of these places that I was privileged to be able to, you know, serve. Right.
Right.
And so I started calling that my gratitude adjustment, and you're going to like this one. And so, you know, one day I just got to thinking about the first verse I ever learned in scripture, you know, was John 3:16.
Okay.
And I realized that, oh my goodness, that's the same process, right? So God so loved the world. So there's the God of love that he gave his only son. And I would think about, you know, Christ leaving heaven, that whoever believed in him should not perish. And so there's this transferred salvation, right? But have everlasting life right here. It starts here. And I would just think about all the areas of my domain that he'd given me, you know, responsibility for. And so, you know, it was fun because, again, I thought I was creating something on my own. And then, of course, I discovered God had beat me to it again, you know, with the verse that's held up in, you know, Super Bowls. You know,
Yeah.
And so for me, you know.
Was that, you makes, holding up that poster board, John 3:16? Was that you?
No.
Okay, I didn't know.
But anyhow, what I discovered is just real simple. And so I might do that. I might get halfway through it before my attitude changes. I might actually go through the whole thing. But to me, it's just a simple way that anybody can remember, if they can remember John 3:16. And it just reorients me to knowing that the big things in life are taken care of.
Yes. So
from there, now I'm repositioned to go lead the way I'm supposed to lead. Right.
Oh, yeah. And it really frees your mind and your heart to do just that. Because in addition, the gratitude crowds out the worry.
Yes, sir.
Crowds out the anxiety, because you're not Atlas or God. So the world's not your charge. It's just frees you to be present in that moment with whatever God's got going on for you. And you don't miss it.
Yeah. It also crowds out anger, it crowds out unforgiveness. I mean, basically every negative emotion that we can drag along, in my view, gratitude pretty much crowds it out, because you can't do both at the same time. I haven't found a way to do both at the same
time. And that's so much of what Paul talked about too, because we may not understand all these things, life and death and, you know, the principalities of darkness, all these things can't separate you from the love of God. And that's right back to your John 3:16, right? Yeah. So all these things are going to work together for good somehow. I know it's beyond my power and ability to do it, but I sure am grateful to know a God that can handle all this stuff, right? Yes, so, sir. Is this the secret in the sauce, Seth Bueckley?
I think it is.
For the companies you've started and bought and sold, and for the work that you're doing today?
Well, it was certainly the mindset I had in my last company. And so, you know, after going through struggles and failures and whatnot, I was given a chance to join leadership team of a company I'd invested in. And then that led to my last position where we literally took a company from nothing to around $60 million before we sold it.
That's awesome.
And, you know, it was a team effort, but we were able to build the team from scratch. And I was able to be a leader of leaders and realize that my job was to help these people succeed and that, you know, to try to not make it about me. And of course, I'm human, so I have an ego like, you know, everybody else. But it was tremendously fun. And I did use gratitude. And through the process, as I was learning, I intended to write a book. And so it was, you know, I was trying to live up to what I believe. And it most certainly will be the way I lead from here on out because, you know, I feel like I have clarity on a framework for leadership that kind of is birthed in gratitude.
A framework for leadership that's birthed in gratitude. Man, I love that. That's absolutely beautiful. I know you didn't make that up, but.
No, I did, but I like it.
Yeah. You should write that down. You're writing that down now.
Yeah. I am.
Well, that works, man. That's great. So Seth Bueckley is the serial entrepreneur who's discovered that the secret in his sauce is gratitude to God for so much goodness in life, but for all the things in life, that the world's not up to you, that you have a role to play as the one Seth Bueckley. Out of 7 billion. And so just go be the best Seth that you can be. Man, I love that. And there's a real freedom. And I know people are going to listen to this podcast and watch this podcast, and they're going to sense that freedom. So really, your message is encouraging all of us to let God be God and us be grateful that we're not. And then that frees us to go be who we are, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, man, that's beautiful. Somebody in Faith Positive Nation is going to want to know, do you have a favorite verse other than John 3:16, though, Seth? Because I know that's got to be one of your favorites.
Yeah, I do. It's actually Galatians 2:20, which says, I have been crucified with Christ, but I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And this life, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And it's, to me, it's... tremendously reorienting again that, you know, Christ doesn't call us to follow. I say, you know, it says, come to me and die. Right. And so we, you know, we come and that's where it starts to get real and starts to get good.
We die to ourselves and then we live by faith, which we know means we believe in things we can't see. Right. And those are the things God's got under control. And so he's going to take care of that. Seth, somebody in Faith Positive Nation is going to want to reach out to you. They're going to want to get your book. You're going to want to learn more about you, more about your businesses, your consulting business that you've got, Cathedral Consulting. Tell us how we can get in touch with you.
Sure. So relative to this topic that we spent a fair amount of time on today around ambition and gratitude, I was fortunate enough to write a book that came out towards the end of 2015. Actually, sorry, 2016, so just a few months ago, called Ambition Leading with Gratitude. And so since my name is complex, all people need to know is readambition.com. If they can just go to readambition.com. And from there, there's a bunch of things in there. It'll feature podcasts like this. It will have a free audio download of chapter 4, which is, I call it Entrepreneurs in Danger. And it talks about all the downside risks that a lot of entrepreneurs face. And it's one of my favorite chapters. And they can get a digital version of that as well. And then from there, they'll be able to find out what I'm doing in my new business that I'm getting ready to join. I'm really excited about it because it focuses on helping, you know, small and mid-sized businesses do business for the right reasons with the right results and, you know, the right way. And so I'm super pumped about that. It took me a while to figure out what I was going to do next, and the Lord opened up a really neat opportunity for me.
Oh, sweet. So that website again is readambition.com.
That's correct.
All right. And you got email addresses and that kind of stuff there so we can reach out to you.
It's all there. You know, I'm on Twitter, I have Facebook, Instagram. I have a good team of people helping me, and very grateful for some of the opportunities to share these messages, and appreciate all that you do and your work at Faith Positive. It's very inspiring. So.
Thank you, Seth. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for the gift of your time and your wisdom. I know I've learned a lot about the relationship between ambition and gratitude today. It's been a great snapshot you've given us, and given us lots of great things to go and do now so we can be more faith positive in this negative world. So we pray God's blessings on you and your family, your businesses, and all the incredible work that God gives to you to do. May you be blessed in all that, Seth. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for listening to Faith Positive Radio, the Christian business coaching conversation that increases your faith with greater joy at work so you love God and others more. Suggest guests and ask questions when you email Dr. Joey at info@getpositive.today. And be sure to get your free gift of the 5 positive business conversations to have today coaching program at getpositive.today. Until next time, may God bless you with everything your heart can hope for and more than your mind can imagine.